You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line are Regina Tasca, a police officer from Pagoda, New Jersey, and Kathy Elston, her attorney. Regina, Kathy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. Thank you, Dave, for having us.
I read online an article. Actually, this one is from PIX11, the headline being, Pagoda officer may be fired for stopping beatdown. Can I call you Regina?
Yes.
Okay. Regina, for the benefit of the listeners, can you just give them a little bit of background about who you are and what you do?
My name is Regina Tosk. I'm a police officer in Pagoda, New Jersey. I've been on the force in Pagoda for a little over 11 years.
Okay. And Pagoda is spelled B-O-G-O-T-A, right? Even though your accent says Pagoda, right? Where are you from? I got to ask.
Hoboken, which is pretty close to New York.
Cool. And Hoboken, there's some famous people from Hoboken, right?
Absolutely.
Who are they?
That'd be Frankie Sinatra. As a matter of fact, my mother's mother, my nanny, used to babysit Frank.
Wow.
If you can imagine that. Yeah.
Wow, and my mom used to tell me, because she grew up in Hackensack, she used to go with her sisters to Frank Sinatra's home and look in his basement window as he was eating pasta.
Yeah, yeah.
How things have changed, huh?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Nowadays, it seems like people just break into the stars' homes. All right, and Pagoda is in Bergen County. It's in the northeast part of New Jersey,
yes.
And it has a population of just over 8,000.
Correct.
How many police officers on the force?
It's actually less than a square mile as far as Pagoda, very small town. I believe there's a total of 18, and that's from the chief all the way down to patrol. That includes detectives and sergeants.
Okay, and you're the only female police officer?
Correct.
Okay, Kathy, how about the same for you?
I'm an attorney for, a little over 20 years, and I was the municipal prosecutor in Pagoda for over 10 years, so I've known Regina for a long time. I know a lot of the members of the department or past members of the department for a while. I've represented other members of the department, and when Regina started having problems due to these incidents, she contacted me to represent her, so that's how I got involved in it.
Dave, if I could interrupt, Kathy was also a former police officer, too.
Thank you. Yeah, I did read that also, but thank you for saying that. Okay, so I was wondering how you all were connected, but I see that now. This article, and I imagine this is pretty accurate, I watched the video. Plenty of cop beatdowns can be found online, but how often does the officer who stops others from handing out the beating get fired for it? That's exactly what's happening to Officer Regina Tasca in the Pagoda Police Department. Tasca's dashboard camera captured her as she attempted to stop two officers from beating an emotionally disturbed young man. Just days after the incident, she was told she was being suspended with pay. A year later, her trial is about to begin as the Pagoda Police Department seeks to fire her. Is that all true?
Yes.
The trial actually already started, so I know you're reading from the thing, but yes.
Yeah, I'm reading April 16th, and of course today's the 20th. Okay,
yes.
So all that's true?
Yes.
Okay, why don't we go back to the incident when that happened? It looked like from this video, I can't see the whole thing, but it looks like it happened some month on the 29th, 2011 at 1644, which is, of course, 444 for you non-military types. Why don't you let the listeners know how exactly it all happened, how you got involved, and where it was and all that, the whole nine yards.
Okay. April 29th, 2011, at about 4:45 in the afternoon, then Councilwoman Tara Sharp had called the Pagoda Police Department in a request to have her son transported to one of the regional hospitals in Bergen County. It was a simple transport. She wanted him to be evaluated because he is an emotionally disturbed individual. I went up to the scene. Pagoda, again, is a small department. There's only two of us on the road, and my partner was on the desk. My partner, Jerome Fowler, calls Richfield Park to back me up. We pretty much both arrive on the scene, myself and Richfield Park. I get out of my patrol car. We're actually at the person's house, Kyle Sharp. The mother comes out, the father comes out, and the mother tells Kyle, you're going to go to the hospital and get evaluated. And he looks at me, he says, Regina, why is there another police department here? And I told him, I said, it's protocol that another police officer is here as a backup. It's what we do. He says, but I don't understand why there's another police department here. He obviously didn't want to go to the hospital. And with that, he says, I'm not going, and starts to walk back towards his house. With that, Sergeant Thibault takes the kid down to the ground. And again, I'm having a normal conversation with this kid. I have everything out of control. Sergeant Thibault from Rich Industrial Park, takes him down to the ground, and then another sergeant, Sergeant Rella, Joseph Rella, comes flying out of his detective car, jumps on top of the kid, as well as the other officer already had him down to the ground and starts pounding me in the head. I was completely in shock, like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I'm trying to pry Sergeant Rella off of the kid because they're beating him for no apparent reason. He wasn't violent. He wasn't attacking them. He didn't charge them, nothing. We were having a conversation. Sergeant Rella's yelling at me, what are you doing? I said, what am I doing? I says, I don't know how you guys handle your calls in Richfield Park, but here in Bogota, this is not how I handle them. There was a lot of yelling and screaming. The mother's screaming, get off my son. Stop punching my son. Kyle's screaming, you're punching me. Why are you punching me? And that was pretty much the extent of that portion of the call. Then ambulance finally arrives on scene. Also, I'm an EMT, an emergency medical technician. So I've been doing this for over 28 years on the ambulance corps, volunteer ambulance corps. I'm also recently got certified in emotionally disturbed persons. So I know how to handle these individuals. And that's pretty much the story as far as my end.
This fella at the time was, I guess, 22, right?
Correct.
I have a 17-year-old autistic boy, and he doesn't act normal, so I can't imagine if this happened to him, what I would do, because
yeah.
I know that he's just a sensitive, sweet little guy, but he can't control himself for
right.
whatever reason or reasons. He was actually speaking to you, the kid,
yeah.
and everything was fine. You were calm. He was calm. He was just nervous, and he said, I'm just going to go back inside. The first cop, the sergeant that jumped on him, how far away was he when the kid was talking? His name's Kyle, right?
Kyle, yeah. Mm-hmm. I arrived first on the scene, and I was talking probably within, I don't know, 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet, somewhere around there. And Sergeant Teeple was actually behind me. And then when the kid says, I'm not going, I'm walking away, as he starts to walk away, he takes about 2-3 steps to the left, Sergeant Teeple just automatically takes him down. I'm like, oh my God. It was like, I was in shock. And of course, it was done in front of the mother and the father. To see your own son get beat up for no apparent reason, they were pretty much as shocked as I was, but obviously more emotional because it was their kid. He wasn't under arrest. I don't even know how to explain it. It's sad. It really, really is.
Did you know this sergeant before?
We're neighboring towns, so there are times when they show up for us and we show up for them to back them up when their other officers are tied up. And again, I'm the only female in Bogota, so if they need another female officer to search one of their prisoners, they call me. So I know many of the guys just from working with them.
Okay. Why do you think it is that he was so violent?
I have no idea. I really don't. He said on the tape, he says, we can't have this. Can't have what? It's not like he did anything. It wasn't like he charged the officer. He turned around and he says, I'm walking away.
And what were the parents doing at the time? Were they trying to talk? Were you talking to the parents?
Yeah, we were all talking. We were like 3 or 4 of us in like a little circle talking.
Dave, can I interrupt just 1 second?
Sure.
Of course.
Regina, I think it's important to let Dave know in these small towns in New Jersey, they have what's called mutual aid or mutual assistance. And in this case, Richfield Park was the backup for Regina. And when you're called in for mutual aid or mutual assistance, you're not the one in charge of the call. It's the town that you're in, that department, who's in charge of the call. So without warning to Regina or any communication to Regina as to, you know, what do you want to do or what are you going to do here or what should we do here, without any warning to the kid, you know, without yelling out to the kid to stop or anything like that. He just bolted up the lawn and grabbed the kid and took him down to the ground. So, I mean, it went against really mutual aid and mutual assistance, and there was no communication from him with Regina or anybody at the scene prior to him doing that. And I think that's important. And also, it's notable in the evidence that we have, the documenting evidence. He arrived at the scene just as Regina was getting out of the car, he meaning the Richfield Park officer that took down the kid. He got there, I think he was there 30 seconds before he and Regina even walked to the area where the mother and father and Kyle were standing, and he immediately called for backup. We don't know why, but he was barely at the scene when he called for another person from Richfield Park to respond. And at that point, the three people were just standing on the lawn talking, and Regina hadn't even approached yet, nor did he. So for whatever reason, he was already calling for backup 30 seconds into the call.
And when the listeners see this video, they'll see that when he did grab him, he did jump on him and smash him to the ground. It wasn't like he just very carefully. He literally had all of his weight and force from a few feet above the ground, obviously. He crushed this guy. He could have broken his ribs or worse, right?
Yeah. And you could actually see the injuries in the photos that I believe are already on the internet that the mother have taken. Just that force itself, as you say, just being charged like that. You know, it's not like they nicely sat him down. They jumped on top of him. We're trained to bring it down, de-escalate, I should say. You talk to their level. You're not supposed to be better than them. You're not supposed to be above them. You talk to them, not at them. And that obviously didn't happen.
I think it's clear from the video that Kyle was walking away from the officer. His back was to him, so he had no advance notice that he was about to be tackled and brought to the ground.
Right. It was a deep shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was no forewarning. There was certainly time to say something before you went up and brought him to the ground, if not to him, to Regina. So just bolting from the lawn and running up and bringing him down to the ground so suddenly like that.
Do you know how long this sergeant has been on the force?
I think from 2000 or 2001. I believe they were both sergeants for not a long period of time when this happened.
Okay. Perhaps this guy needs to be examined because this isn't something that especially people with a badge and a gun are supposed to do.
That's correct.
When I grew up in Bergen County, we had respect for cops.
That's right.
You never heard about this stuff. You were buddies with them. And now it really seems like, regardless of these statistics, it really seems like things are out of control. There's cops beating up normal citizens like every day.
Yep.
When he jumped him like that and put him to the ground, did you happen to see Kyle's face at all? Was he in pain?
He was kind of screaming, like, get off of me. What are you doing? Why are you punching me? Because, again, one sergeant had taken him down. But then the second sergeant comes flying out of his car, like I said, out of his detective car, and he starts pounding me in the head. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And that's when I kind of freaked out a little bit, like, what are you doing? You know, I don't know how you guys handle it, but this is not how I handle it in my town. And I started prying Sergeant Reller off of the kid because it was just out of control. It really was out of control.
Right. How big is Kyle, do you know?
He's a little guy, maybe 5'4", something like that.
And how about the first guy who tackled him, that sergeant?
Top of my head, I want to say probably 5'6", 5'7".
He's a little bit bigger.
Yeah, 5'8", I don't even know.
Okay, and how about the guy who was pounding him?
He's a little guy as well. He's probably 5'4", himself.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm the little one, 5'3".
Well, you know, this has nothing to do with it, but I might as well ask you, Kathy. And then I'll say how tall I am. The reason I was asking, obviously, was because I think that's applicable. I mean, here if the guy was, you know, 6'4", and he's smashing this poor guy to the ground with all his weight, that does one thing. But here the guy's not that big. You hear about these people with these Napoleonic complexes, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly correct.
There is validity in that. I'm sorry, in my experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the other guy being not very big, maybe, you know, hey, here's a guy about our size. We legally can beat up on him, we think.
Yep.
And I really, unfortunately, I think that that's something that goes through these people's heads. I mean, I personally have never hit anybody in my life with my fist. I would not want to. I'm 51, and I never have. I don't ever want to do it. I always think that there's a way that you can avoid that.
Right.
And I've been in a lot of situations where that was a possibility, but I never have. It seems like a lot of people who are in uniform and have a badge and a gun are somehow taking out their anxieties out on other people, and it seems like they're people like this, you know, a mentally disturbed person. How long did it last where the two sergeants were pummeling the guy before you jumped in?
Oh, I was right there. I immediately was pulling Sergeant Rello off of the kid.
Okay, so they didn't get too many hits in?
I want to say it was probably 2 or 3 hits, but it doesn't matter. It shouldn't even have been 1.
Do you work out or anything with weights, or was it easy pulling the guy off? Did you pull him off?
Oh, yeah, I pulled him off. As far as working out, the only thing I could tell you is that I'm the youngest of 7, so I had to be able to defend myself.
I gotcha. So what was his reaction, Rella's, when you were pulling on him?
He told me I was a disgrace to the police department because I was stopping him. I says, I'm a disgrace? And then he had some choice words in addition to, yeah, you're a disgrace.
X-rated words.
Yeah.
Okay, so he said this while he was still on top of the guy?
As I was trying to yank him off, yeah.
So in other words, he's on top of this 22-year-old emotionally disturbed kid.
Mm-hmm.
You're yanking him off, and he's telling you you're a disgrace and F this and F that.
Yep.
Right in front of the parents, right in front of everybody.
The mother tries to, as she's screaming, get off of my son, get off of my son. He actually says, stand back because you'll be next. I was like, oh my God. Like, really?
So obviously this guy's out of control. How about the other guy who originally jumped him? What was he doing when this was happening?
I guess after the fact that everything went down, and it went so fast, I know we're talking about it, but these things happen like within seconds, so it's like, although I'm talking about it, it's taken a while to get the story out, it happened so fast, and he kind of, I guess, eventually backed up when my partner, because I called over the radio to Jerome Fowler, I said, Jay, I need you up here, thinking that he would assist me in helping Kyle, but that didn't happen.
So the parents there are saying, hey, get off. He's saying, you're going to be next, which is from a citizen standpoint, that's completely out of control and uncalled for. And if these guys aren't brought up on charges, there's something wrong. This whole thing lasted a few seconds. Then what happened after they got up?
With that, the ambulance arrives. My chief and my captain actually arrive at the scene as well. obviously pretty upset of the actions of these other two officers. And I just pretty much stood by Kyle telling him, you know, I'm here, we're good, I'm taking care of you, I'm sorry for what just happened. Because although they're from another department, although what they did, we're still all in uniform. We all still represent the police department, whether it's Richard Park or Pagoda. But there are some, you know, rotten eggs in the group. That's the only thing I can tell you. The ambulance comes. He was pretty, again, obviously upset. I just don't know why they hit me, you know, punched me, whatever he had said. I went into the ambulance with the kid up to the hospital until the parents came up. They thanked me. They couldn't thank me enough. The mother left a voice message on my cell phone. I can't thank you enough for helping me out, for helping my son out, for being there, for protecting my son when these other officers attacked him. It's just sad. It really, really is sad.
Yeah, I listened to that. When you yanked him off and they stood up, did you happen to take note of their expressions?
I think they were more shocked that I removed him than anything.
Okay.
I think that's the only thing I could really say. They were still in shock that I stopped them. I guess I was supposed to beat the kid as well.
Right,
you know,
right.
That was the impression I got.
They probably expected you to, like, grab his leg and bite into his ankle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Something like that.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, so the ambulance comes, takes the poor kid away. So you left your car there.
Yes, I left my patrol car there. I gave my keys to my partner, and I told the chief and the captain, because they were both at the scene, I said, I'm going up to the hospital with the kid. And, you know, I said to the mother, do you need anything from me? And that's when the chief jumped in, and he says, we can't discuss this. There's an internal affairs investigation. Captain Temple handled it. I'm like, whatever.
So there was already an investigation in the works.
That's because the mother was screaming, I want this incident investigated. I want to bring it to the DA's office.
Did you flip on your dash cam, or is that always on?
It's actually, as soon as you start your shift, we have a voice link that you link up to whatever car you're going in. So I automatically link it up to the car, and I put the link, the voice recorder part, directly on my belt. As soon as you hit your overhead lights, it automatically starts to record. You have an opportunity to shut off the camera if you want to, and when I say shut it off, like if I'm doing a fire scene, the camera would be automatically rolling, and I don't need to waste the tape for that. But I always have my camera on to protect me, protect my citizens, and I have nothing to hide. There are officers who choose not to put it on, but that's their choice.
I see you're parked a little ways from the home. Was that because there was a car originally in front of you, or did you
I believe so.
Do you usually park closer, or you just didn't want to scare the kid or something?
Well, I went in without any lights and sirens, and I actually put it over the air to my partner who was on the desk. I said, have the ambulance come in, no lights and sirens, because, again, he is emotionally disturbed. You don't want to get his adrenaline pumped.
Right.
Whether or not they did that or they listened to it, I don't know, because, of course, they came in with lights and sirens.
After that, you went to the hospital. What happened after that?
Again, I believe he was x-rayed. Once the parents got there, another officer from Pagoda came up to the hospital and picked me up and brought me back to Pagoda. My shift ends at 7 p.m. It goes 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So it was a little after 8 or 7:30, whatever it was, and I went home. This was a Friday evening. Saturday I went to work. Sunday I went to work. Normal, nothing going on. Nothing going on in the sense that no one questioned me, no one interviewed me, no nothing. So I worked two full shifts, and then we're off since we have so many crazy hours. I'm off Monday and Tuesday. My next day back in, I believe, was Wednesday, and the captain says, we need you to come in to speak to you for administrative questions. I'm like, all right, well, I guess maybe they're finally getting on this call of April 29th with this kid, Kyle Sharp. I keep saying kid, I'm sorry for that.
Can I interrupt for a minute, Regina?
Sure.
Dave, it's important to note, at the scene, after Regina called her tour commander, Officer Fowler, he showed up, but also the chief of the department showed up, and also the internal affairs captain showed up. And Regina did at the scene tell her supervisor, Officer Fowler, what happened here just wasn't right. And the IA captain was right there on the scene, so I just wanted to point that out. Nobody ever asked Regina at the scene what happened.
Right.
There was evidence that Fowler did talk to Richfield Park. One of the Richfield Park officers was trying to talk to the father. It appears Stepp had talked to a few people there, but nobody made any effort to talk to their own officer about what happened at the scene before she left to go to the hospital with Kyle.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, that's great. Yeah, somebody just got shot. Hey, this person saw it. Nah, we'll interview him later. Maybe in a couple of weeks.
She called him up to the scene, and then he never spoke to her at the scene, and nor did the IA captain, who also responded there.
Why do you think they didn't interview her, Kathy?
I would love to know the answer to that question myself. I'd also love to know why the Richfield Park officers were never asked in an interview or a sworn statement what happened. That's a little curious myself, and I'm also concerned with the destruction of internal affairs notes by the IA captain.
Wow. You got called in to the office.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
He calls me, and like I said, he says, I need to talk to you for internal questions. And I'm like, all right. So again, I think that he wants to talk to me to question what happened. Because at the scene, then I went up to the hospital. I'm sure they were gone for the day. Saturday and Sunday, of course, the chief and the captain don't work. So I figured he was finally getting around to speaking to me, questioning me of the scene. So So I go in there, and sure enough, he says to me, you need to turn over your service weapon, your badge, and your ID. And I just looked at him like, what? Like, why? You know, he's like, well, you're suspended immediately, and we need to send you for a psychological evaluation. I says, for what? What did I do wrong? I mean, I was in shock. I was like, what? Like, I think you got the wrong people here.
Yeah.
But it's a direct order, so I have to do it. And it crushed me. You know, I'm a police officer for so long. I love the job. I love the residents. It's what I enjoy to do. And now you're just stripping me of everything. It was a horrible feeling at that point.
Were you ever on Cops? I could have sworn you look familiar.
No, no.
Okay. Then what happened? You left the office?
He took my service weapon because that was in my locker. My badge was actually home, or my ID was home. I don't know. So they followed me up to my house and premise, and they came and took my ID. They said, remember, you can't do any type of police work right now, and you can't respond to anything because you're not an officer anymore. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? You know, I was like, okay. You know, and that's what I call Kathy.
Okay. They suspended you with pay, though, right?
Correct.
Do you remember the date that they suspended you?
I don't know if it was May 8th or May 18th. I have to actually look. I think it was okay. May 18th, if I'm not mistaken.
They suspended you with pay, which means that you don't have to work, but you still get paid.
Correct.
Got
they first
job.
Suspended me, but I guess the mayor and council makes that decision whether or not I'll be paid or not. So it came up at a council meeting a couple of weeks later that they decided they were going to continue to pay me.
Then you call Kathy.
Yep.
Okay, Kathy, how long were you a police officer?
I was in Hackensack for 6 or 7 years, and in New York City before that for about a year.
So you get the call, and what were you thinking?
I was disturbed by it because we had had an incident in December of 2010, only a few months before, which I thought was absurd, where they sent her for a psych fitness for duty in 2010 because she complained about wearing a sweater as part of the uniform, and she was out one day sick. So this seemed to be not a coincidence that, again, now they were attempting to do something to her that wasn't appropriate or proper.
A sweater.
A sweater, yeah. Regina had informally complained via text to her road supervisor that she didn't want to wear the sweater for various reasons, but she wore it. But she was just saying that some of us are wearing it, some of us are not. It seems to be inconsistent. Could you look into this? And also that she had inhaled secondhand smoke in one of the radio cars, which is against the policy of Bogota to smoke in a radio car. She again went through her immediate supervisor informally to advise him of this violation. And as a result of that, she didn't feel well. She finished the tour, and then the next day she called out sick. About 2 hours into her sick day, the IA captain ordered her to respond to headquarters to be escorted to the Bogota police surgeon for a medical exam. He's testified that that's never happened before, that she was actually escorted by him and another officer to the hospital where the police surgeon was. And I believe, we don't have the transcript yet, but Regina, correct me if I'm wrong, he also testified that that's never happened before.
Correct.
She was brought to the hospital so this doctor could examine her and cleared for duty. And after that was sent for a psych fitness for duty based on those two incidents. And of course she was found fit for duty because it's just simply absurd to say the least. Somebody sent for psychological fitness for duty for those two, what's already been deemed minor incidents. But nevertheless, she was sent for a psych fitness for duty and cleared. And then now we have this incident occurring. She's suspended without apparently any interviews at all have taken place up to that point in time. You don't have the tape, Dave, but if the tape is played to the end, the tape of the incident on April 29th, when the mother says, I want to make a complaint to the DA's office, Regina says, I'm going to support you on that.
Right.
So the red flags go up. Now, she's saying on the tape, I'm going to support your complaint of excessive force, and all of a sudden Regina's suspended from duty and being sent for a psych exam, the second one in 4 months. Those were my immediate thoughts. Having had gone through this absurd formal internal affairs complaint for these minor incidents in December and a fitness for duty exam, and now hearing what was going on with this, of course, you know, I was alarmed.
Yeah.
As to what was really the motivation behind how Regina was being treated at that point in time.
Just let me get this straight. The first one was because she sent a text message saying that she wasn't comfortable wearing, I guess, this sweater they were ordered to wear?
It's actually part of the uniform. Whatever your tour commander is wearing, you got to wear. If your tour commander decides that we're going to wear a sweater, everyone's got to put on a sweater. Tour commander decides that it's too hot out, we're wearing short sleeve, we wear short sleeve. So it's pretty much whatever your tour is wearing, you're wearing. When I came in to relieve the guy that was working, he wasn't wearing a sweater. So my complaint was, well, why do I have to wear it? Although I did complain, I wore it because, you know, I followed the direction, what I'm supposed to do. And regarding the sick call, we have unlimited sick time. That's part of our contract. I called out sick. That same day that I called in sick, they ordered me to come into work to be evaluated by a doctor. I'm like, what? Again, I was like, this has never happened. oh, yeah, we need to bring you to the hospital. I'm like, oh, okay.
What was the time between the sweater text and the sick day?
What was it, a couple of days?
Yeah, okay. I think it was a couple of days, Dave.
Okay. And if you don't mind me asking, what was it about? Was it just the fact that they were not uniform in their application of their fashion policy that you didn't want to wear the sweater? Or was it like woolly and itchy and you just didn't like the way it felt?
It was a little bit of both, I think, because you were complaining that it was uncomfortable for you, but also that you noticed that not everybody was wearing it. So
right.
I think it was a little bit of both, right, Regina, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Well, Dave,
I...
to make it even more absurd, during the internal affairs interview, and there was some sparring going on between me and the IA captain because we were told we were going to be brought down there to talk about these incidents. And when we got there, it wasn't a conversation. We were told, oh, by the way, we're going to sit here for an IA interview right now. And that's in the transcript of that particular interview. We were never told that Regina was being investigated or about to be questioned on these two minor incidents. We were brought down there under the guise of trying to discuss what these issues were. And instead, before you know it, we're sitting down there with a video camera answering questions on these two minor incidents.
How did they find out about the text? Did this person you texted, did that person turn you in? Boy, look, he doesn't like the sweater. Let's go get her.
Well, you know, that was actually kind of odd myself when I heard of it because I was texting my sergeant, which is my immediate supervisor. And we always text each other back and forth. He's off, I'm off, whatever, maybe. Just talking back and forth. It was like our ways of communication. I'm like, you know, I can't believe that I have to wear the sweater and somebody else doesn't. You know, he said, do you want me to look into it for you? I said, yeah. I said, if you don't mind, yeah, I would like you to. Next thing I know, you know.
The Internal Affairs guidelines recommend that any minor incidents be taken care of by the immediate supervisor. Not everything goes to a formal IA investigation. Certainly not minor incidents, which these were, but for whatever reason, they turned them into a formal investigation. Just going back for a minute, Dave, the funny part of the whole thing was when we were sitting there during the internal affairs interview and Regina was asking about the necessity of wearing a sweater, the IA captain basically said, well, if you didn't have a sweater, you wouldn't have had to wear one. So Regina says, you mean to tell me I just don't have to buy one and then I wouldn't have to wear it, essentially, yeah.
But obviously, he didn't know what he was talking about because it's in the uniform policy. If your tour command is wearing it, you got to wear it. But I guess since he was a detective for 10 years and really never on the road and didn't have to wear a uniform, I guess maybe he suddenly forgot. I don't know.
Right.
But also, we said we had requested at that time for copies of the policies that he said required Regina to go for an examination within 24 hours of reporting her illness. And in response to that request, we received two documents, which he testified last week, that did not require such an examination. So basically, during the interview, he stated a policy that required them to take this action, and then he was unable to produce it.
Hmm. Then what happened, Kathy? You thought about these past incidences, and then what were your next steps?
Well, we didn't know what was going on behind the scenes, naturally. When Regina was suspended and sent for a psych exam, I think at that point we were just waiting to see why and what was going on, because we really didn't know, because when they conduct these internal affairs investigations, they're confidential while they're being conducted. We were a little bit in a holding pattern until we received the charges that she was unfit for duty, which came first. I believe, that she was found psychologically unfit for duty by the same doctor who examined her 4 months earlier and found her fit for duty. And we were told that they were investigating these incidents, and then the charges started coming in, not only for the April 29th incident, but for the April 3rd incident. Regina wasn't told she was the subject of an investigation for that incident by anybody. She thought when we first responded, ultimately for an interview on May 25th, we thought she was there as a witness because assumed that the complaint was being lodged by the woman on the April 3rd incident. The hospital incident, assumed that the woman who was arrested lodged a complaint against the arresting officer, which was Officer Fowler. So Regina was sitting there answering questions without being told that one of her fellow officers complained that she failed to assist her on a call on April 3rd at the Holy Name Hospital. Regina and another officer responded to Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck with a woman who was intoxicated. And while there, her partner got into a scuffle with the woman when she tried to leave the hospital, and he ended up filing a criminal complaint against her for aggravated assault. He continued to work with Regina for days after that. He went out injured on duty as a result of a couple of scratches on his wrist. And then when he returned, he decided he wanted to look at the video so he could write a report about what happened. And when he looked at the video, he decided that upon reviewing the video, he felt that Regina should have assisted him with the arrest, even though there were security guards from the hospital that were called ahead of time to be there and who were surrounding him at the time that he was scuffling with this woman. So he felt Regina should have assisted assisted him. Now, interestingly, this is an officer who 2 or 3 months before requested a reassignment from Regina because he didn't want to work with her. And he testified to that last week. He asked to be reassigned because he was upset that he was reprimanded a few months earlier because he released information to a non-member of the department that Regina was going for that December 2010 psychological fitness for duty exam. And that's confidential and that's sensitive information. And he told somebody outside the department. So when we made the department aware of that, again, Regina didn't file a formal complaint. She said, we want you to know that this happened. Please let everybody know this is confidential. He was given a written reprimand for that. And at that moment, he said, well, I don't want to work with Regina anymore. I want a reassignment. So he didn't get it. And then this April 3rd incident happened at the hospital, and he had no complaints that night or the next day or the next day or the next day until he reviewed the video, and then all of a sudden he felt that Regina was a threat to his safety and he wanted to be reassigned again. So this was the first incident that occurred, and before any statements were taken from anybody in that incident, the April 29th incident occurred. And interestingly, none of the security guards that were at the hospital that evening were ever interviewed by the investigating officer as to where anybody was standing or who was closest to this woman when she decided to slap Officer Fowler. There were 2 interviews taken, but none of them of the security personnel whose duty it was really to be there when something like this happened. So then we have the April 29th incident happening, and of course we were called in for that interview as well. Regina was interviewed for both of those incidents at the same time. And again, we questioned when the complaint was from Tara Sharp about the use of excessive force by the Richfield Park police officers, how Regina became the subject of an administrative investigation. And what we were told by the IA captain during the interview was, well, I went over to the prosecutor's office with the tape, and while looking at it, Regina became the subject. Now, when he went over to the prosecutor's office, the evidence shows that there wasn't a single interview taken by anyone. So apparently he went over there with this tape and also the tape of the hospital incident. And when I asked what crime occurred in the hospital when this is a failure to assist allegation by Officer Fowler, what was the crime that you're alleging that the prosecutor's office had a look at the tape? And he said, well, Officer Fowler was stating that she didn't assist him because it was retaliatory for him releasing information about Regina's psych exam. I guess it never occurred to the IA captain that maybe Officer Fowler was retaliating against Regina because he was reprimanded for that. And we still don't know what crime was committed for which this IA captain had to bring the hospital incident to the attention of the prosecutor's office. But he went over there with, from what we could tell from his reports, just the videotape of the April 29th incident with Kyle. And somehow when he left there, Regina was the subject of an administrative investigation, and the Richfield Park officers were classified as victims. Victims / witnesses. Yeah. So we don't know what happened. I'm hoping we get some answers to that. But even with that, they were never interviewed. They were never interviewed about their actions on that day.
Regina, did you want to say something?
The day that they sent me for the psychological interview was also the day of the sergeant's interview.
December, the December one, Dave. The December psych exam, Regina was ordered to sit for that on the day when the captain knew that there was promotional interviews and Regina was scheduled to be one of the people interviewed for promotion. So coincidentally.
Yeah.
Coincidentally.
Yeah, it sounds like they wanted to get you, and it sounds like maybe they're threatened by you. I mean, I actually feel very threatened by you, and we're only on the phone, so you're scaring the hell out of me.
Yeah, I guess they're threatened by me.
You're not one of these people who could be bought off. You're going to do
exactly.
Yeah, right. I know the feeling. So is there anything else, do you think, that they're concerned about besides the fact that you're incorruptible and you're going to do everything by the book and you're not going to favor anybody and you're actually going to defend the citizens against the police force? Is there anything else that they might have against you?
No, but as you say, defend, protect, you know, that's part of our motto, protect and serve, not beat up and
maim, right,
yeah,
or torture, right. No. Kathy, what happened after that? I mean, did you file any paperwork or who did you talk to next?
Well, the process is that once she's charged, we asked for, obviously, a hearing. We entered a not guilty plea and we demanded discovery.
Just tell the listeners what discovery is.
Oh, discovery means any evidence that was in the possession of Pagoda or Ritual Park pertaining to the incident itself, any statement taken, any incident reports written, any physical evidence that was collected, the investigatory report in the internal affairs, captain, any reports that came from the Bergen County Prosecutor's Office. And we had to actually go to court to get some of the evidence because it wasn't turned over. And we had to get the doctor's report from the Institute of Forensic Psychology who performed the psychological fitness for duty test on Regina and the one that found her fit and then unfit. So there's a lot of documentation that we had to secure.
And when is this, like right now, time-wise?
It took months It started when Regina first received the charges, I believe in June, Regina, and then we were in court because we were attempting to obtain what you call the raw data from the doctor who performed the test on Regina, who wouldn't turn it over in the absence of a confidentiality order. We moved to enforce the subpoena to get that documentation, and then we had to go back because we kept asking for certain documentation that the borough didn't even respond to the request, just ignored my letters. So we had to make another motion in Superior Court for that documentation. And we didn't get everything up until, I think, the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it took that long. And then there was a change in hearing officers. So there was a couple of reasons why it's been so delayed. But
right. Okay, so it started at the end of April, and you didn't get all of your documents until maybe January of 2012.
Yeah, it might have even been a little later than that.
Yeah, I want to say it was probably March sometime.
March.
It was after March.
Yeah, I think we still
were
getting documents as late as March.
What happened after that, then?
Well, the hearing was scheduled, and I made a mistake before. We had the first day of hearing this past Tuesday. We had one other day where there were some pretrial issues. A couple weeks ago, we went before the hearing officer to resolve the outstanding discovery, but the actual testimony didn't begin until this past Tuesday, and then we have additional dates scheduled for next week and then probably after that as well.
Okay. And I read, I don't know if it was in this article or another one, it said that not only were you the only female on the Bogota police force, but you're also a lesbian. Is that true?
Yes.
So do you think that your sexual preference is something that is an obstacle to you serving alongside these people?
I don't believe so at all. It has nothing to do with it. Who we decide to love has nothing to do with whether or not you could do a job.
Dave, do you think that it played a factor in why they're going after Regina?
That's correct.
Oh, yeah, Regina, not whether or not being gay could prevent you from doing a job. I think the best way. You know, David, looks, the evidence all points to there's a number of reasons why this particular incident, it was so hotly pursued against Regina. Regina, you could pipe in here, but I think that's one of the factors, but certainly not the only factor.
Right.
It's well known that there's a lot of guys out there who have animosity to women who decide to not be heterosexual. That's just the fact. And so they might be saying, hey, you know, she's on the police force, but she's a lesbian, and that might be something that is entering into it. Are you still getting paid, Regina?
Yes, because I'm suspended with pay.
Is it public knowledge about how much you make?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's right? Public record, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much do you make?
$100,000, $110,000.
Kathy, what are you looking for?
We're looking for a total dismissal of the disciplinary charges here. They're totally baseless and need to be dismissed. And Regina's reputation restored. A purging of the psychological fitness for exams from her file. All the defense monies she's had to expend in this matter unnecessarily. And for Regina really to be vindicated. I mean, it's a terrible injustice. We want the injustice corrected. The people who were supposed to be investigated were never investigated here. Somehow this investigation turned into an attack on Regina when the complaint was against the Ridgefield Park officers. So I think in fairness to the public, the investigation that should have taken place has to take place. And this injustice to Regina has to be rectified. That's what we're looking for.
So yes. Regina, you want to go back to your job?
Yes.
So these Ridgefield Park police, there has never been an investigation about what they did?
The evidence shows us that when the IA investigator left the prosecutor's office, they were no longer subjects of any criminal or administrative investigation. Visit to the prosecutor's office, I believe, was on May 3rd, which was 4 days after the incident occurred, before any interviews were ever taken. And from the report we have, there's an indication that the Bergen County prosecutor's office was provided only the videotape and nothing else. And again, somehow a decision was made at that moment to decline prosecution criminally against the Ridgefield Park officers, but there still remained an administrative investigation of these officers, and that never occurred. When Captain Sepp left the Bergen County Prosecutor's Office, the subject was Regina Tasca.
However, we don't have any notes because Captain Sepp doesn't have any notes. He destroyed them. He doesn't have them. Any conversations, anything that he had with the prosecutor's office, so who knows?
That's convenient. And what about Kyle's parents? Are they going after the police department?
That remains to be seen. They may or they may not, but we don't know that. At this point, they still have time to file, so we don't know.
Do you know how Kyle's doing?
We've spoken to him. We had our private investigator speak to him, I think, sometime in January, and he's doing well. He remembers being punched. He remembers the incident very well. It's been a year now, so, you know, when we spoke to him, he was fine physically.
And also, during that interview with the private investigator, the investigator had stated that I'm being brought up on charges, possibly fired, and Kyle's response was, oh, no, she was the only nice officer there, so.
Right. Okay, so besides Regina getting her job back and having those psychological files expunged or purged, whatever term you want to use, are you asking for anything else?
Regina has a separate civil trial attorney who will be representing Regina on a civil suit against Pagoda and Rishwa Park. I hate speaking for other lawyers, so if you want, we could put you in touch with him, and he could probably respond better to that question, since I'm not really handling that aspect of it.
Attorney Kathy Elston and police officer Regina Task, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners, and I'm really looking forward to hearing how this unfolds.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thanks for having us and giving us the opportunity to give you the good picture of what occurred here.
Thank you as well, David, for having us. I appreciate it, you getting it out there.